Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we'll get into Tiger Woods, the black box, driving, and I have some unique thoughts about his vehicle as well. And we'll do some trending topics. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, sure. And then you have your automotive insurance, right? So now you get your bundle going with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. And it's easy when you bundle at geico.com.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. April will feature Righteous Felon Beef Jerky with flavors like Shea Potle Guevara and Habanero Escobar. Expand laces, because who doesn't want to turn every shoe into a slip-on? At least sometimes. You'll also get a copy of Daddy Stop Talking and a bottle of your choice. Prep your mailbox, because Adam's Monthly Nut is on its way. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the founder of Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, David Fischoff. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and we'll check out some trending topics. And now, good and proper, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. The mandate, you get it on now. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing with a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan?
Well, it appears I have daddy issues.
All right, so there's some breaking news on the Tiger Woods situation, because they recovered the black box. I guess everything's going to have a black box soon.
Yeah, and the more bought in the car, the more connected, right?
Another name for GSV.
Yeah, and yeah, man. But we all know where to find that. We don't have to get into some diving bell.
Oh, I hope you don't.
Get down to the Marianas Trench to find. Ooh, good name for.
Good name for.
GSV. You know, now it kind of strikes me that we all are now equipped with our own black box, which is our phone.
Right.
So we're going to be able to be tracked everywhere and, you know, find out. And, you know, they were able to look and see if Tiger was texting, you know, and things right. like that. So we kind of, everything has a black box, and we have our own black box, our phone. You'll know right where everybody is.
Probably the most revolutionary, like in terms of like solving crimes, murders and whatnot, like since the fingerprint and DNA, right? Like now we can tell where you are, when you are, what you're doing, if you're sending a text, if you're downloading something. Well,
yeah, and just at the very fact of what cell tower is pinging, yeah, exactly. Know where you are.
If sometimes Natalia or Sonny will get a text from Olga on a Friday night at 11:15, if I'm out driving with them somewhere, and she'll go, why are you so far away from your house at 11:15 at night, you know, yeah. You're supposed to. And, you know, I'm dropping her off at her pimp's place, so I always get right. on the phone and tell
an
her, don't worry, she's in good hands. No. But so they went through the Tiger Woods thing. And the Tiger Woods thing was he was going at excessive speeds, and he actually accelerated as he was going over the embankment or into the tree or whatever it was. And I have a couple of thoughts. One is I'm going to circle back to my first thought, which is there was nothing in his system. He was sober. He was fine. Good. Suspend his license anyway, because now
he's an indictment.
He's a full-blown terror. I mean,
he's a menace.
The old guys who plow through the farmer's market in Santa Monica, they're not drunk.
Nope.
They mistake the accelerator for the brake. And that's what...
In some ways worse. It's an indictment of your driving.
That's what Tiger did. Yeah, well, first things first, you know, if I watch some football games at the warehouse and have a couple of beers and drive home, I don't plow through farmers markets or drive over curbs or embankments or anything like that, number one.
Rarely, if ever.
Number two, if you wanted to ride shotgun in my car, there's a decent chance I won't be buzzed. There's a very decent chance, you know, weekday, maybe while the sun is out, you know what I mean?
Not after lunch.
But with Tiger, there's always the opportunity for him to mistake the brake for the accelerator, vice versa. I mean, so it's very interesting. So if you get pulled over, if you had a, you know, Christmas party here, you had a few pops and you got pulled over, your license would be suspended for a year.
At least.
And if you were over, you know, 90 years old and it was determined you could no longer safely operate a motor vehicle, your license would be revoked or suspended or whatever it is. Maybe we should look into that with Tiger. I feel like Tiger's had enough trials and tribulations on the open road. Certainly could afford the Uber, maybe even the Uber Black, you know, the SUV, right?
Oh, yeah, the Uber XL.
Right.
If you're feeling crazy.
Right. So it's kind of funny where we have this society where we go, whoo, nothing in his system. My thing is like scarier now. This person is now actually more frightening. I would not. And I would suggest, if I was a judge, I would say, look, I'm not going to suspend your license, but we do need to get a giant fiberglass Tiger and affix it to the roof of your car so people know. So
you're
if you're riding a bike with your son along the highway, you know, to get the fuck out of Dodge.
Well, and that's like what you say about the guys that go up and just beat on somebody on the street. There's no motive. And
oh,
so there's no way to avoid it.
I'm glad you brought it up, Gina, because I was kind of like searching my mind. The guys who poison their wives or their wives poison their husbands to collect on the insurance policy, I'm not a fan of it, but that's between consenting adults.
Adds up.
The guys who just cold cock the Asian guy walking through Manhattan or the Hasidic Jew walking through Brooklyn, those are the scariest people, and I put Tiger squarely in that community. So
it adds up.
There's that. Then I started to think about it. And so I'm interested in your thoughts, which is I like memorabilia. I like cars. I like collecting cars. But there's a big in the last few years, it's been a burgeoning category of celebrity collector guitars, watches, locks of hair, the sheets that John and Yoko laid on when they were staying in bed and protesting war and all kinds of stuff. Tiger Woods Hyundai. Tiger Woods Hyundai. That thing is worth something. That thing has value. Now, there's not a ton of other examples, but you can go back, you know, to famously James Dean.
Yep.
He's got his 550 Spider, little bastard. They still don't know where it is. But I was talking to a car expert earlier in the day when I was doing CarCasts, and I said, well, that thing's $10 million, like James Dean's car. It's not an apples-to-apples thing. He said, probably more than $10 million if somebody brought that thing to an auction. And then he said an interesting thing that I never thought of. The biggest auction of the year takes place at Pebble Beach. The Gooding auction is on Pebble Beach. He said golfers love this shit. They collect this stuff. So you got these crazy rich golf fans, and then you got Tiger Woods' destroyed Hyundai. And I said, well, what do you think, you know, to the guy? And he said, oh, six figures. Like, I thought, it is, first things first. All right,
ten times more than a regular Hyundai.
Indeed.
So, some info. If you had that car, and you had a Hyundai dealership, would you put it up in display in the showroom? Now, I see the face.
I had the same thoughts.
You're going to have to prove this one.
Well, it's going to bring in a lot more foot traffic than free hot dogs and snow cones. on a Saturday. And also, your argument is he survived, especially especially when...
That's how good our cars are.
Right. Especially when Tiger rehabs and he's back on the links and maybe wins a tournament or two. You go, look at now, if it had not been for our product. But it's a little morbid, but he'll be recovered by then.
Well, to your point, when I headed straight ahead into a median and flipped the car, I survived because I was in a Toyota Corolla, and my mom bought another Toyota Corolla because it saved her daughter one time. So you're right about that. But will the average person coming in looking for an affordable sedan see that and make that connection right away or be a little freaked out?
Well, if you're shopping for Hyundais, you're probably not the elite of the elite. Well, you know, you're looking for a bargain. Yes.
Okay, hold on a second. I have some inside info on this. Number one, I'm pretty sure that was not Tiger's SUV. I'm pretty sure Hyundai or Genesis, I think it was a Genesis SUV. I think they lent it to him as a loaner because he was there for the Genesis Open, right?
No, okay, I don't think it's Tiger's SUV. Like, right, but he was driving it, so it's good enough.
I have the same thought as you because this bolsters your point a little bit, which is if you're Genesis and you own, it's your car, obviously, you have to. Why not send it out to the local dealerships, you know, on a sort of, you know, 6-month rotational basis? It's like, hey, this is our flagship SUV. It survived rolling over an embankment with Tiger Woods inside. And you're right, when he's back on the links, it's like, thanks to us.
Yeah. And then I was taking a little deeper dive into it. And I thought initially it would have been provided by a local dealership. But Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, explained to me that that was I guess you would call it a early car, a prototype or something that those weren't available. That was provided by Genesis.
It's a corporate deal, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but it was not the Costa Mesa Hyundai that provided it. It was Hyundai Genesis who provided the car. So now the car's totaled. So the insurance company will pay off the car. And then I guess the insurance company will own the wrecked car, and they usually auction it off. People salvage them, you know, because they'll go, well, the engine, the transmission are still good. We'll pull that out, and we'll pull the seats out or whatever it is. But it strikes me that Genesis may want to buy the car back from the insurance company. You know, if it's a $70,000 SUV, you get your check, and then you can give them 11 grand. For
it was total, just take it back.
For the total car, Matt thinks a Genesis is going to crush it. And now there's a rich.
Never speak of it again.
Well, there is a rich history of cars. Like if you go look at Jay Leno's Turbine Chrysler, it's like, well, there's only three left. The other five were crushed. You know, they crush prototype cars. They used to do it routinely, which is weird. Now the car's worth $20 million, but they did crush a lot of stuff. This isn't exactly apples to apples, but would you like to own that car? And I would argue that even if you paid $150,000 for that car, your kids would be happy you bought that car in 20 years.
Absolutely. That's not that much more than a Hyundai Genesis SUV would cost. Also, I think you're right. There's apples to apples, apples to oranges. There's not a lot of comps, I think, in this world. I would say OJ's Bronco is like the closest comp because it's more infamous than famous.
Right.
And it went for $750,000. So,
no. The owner said he was willing to part $750,000 to $1 million. It didn't go that. Nobody.
Well, at least he's not going to take $250,000 for it, I guess is the answer. So I would be interested in following the life of this car, but I would not crush it. I would put a tarp over it and park it in the back of the Genesis headquarters and figure it out. I wouldn't be too hasty to put this thing in a crusher or give it, because if it goes to the insurance company is going to auction it off, I think. That's how it works.
Christy's very good friend works for Genesis. I can find out for you. I can always ask.
I would be interested in the life of that car because, like I said, you go down to Harrah's in Vegas, you can see Bonnie and Clyde shot up car over there. You can see the Hitler mobile, the 6-wheel Hitler mobile and all that kind of stuff. So I think Tiger's balled up Hyundai is going to be worth something one of these days. All right. And probably something now. Another on a car-related note, another thing that was interesting. So I was speaking to this gentleman about ordering his Ford GT, and it's a supercar. You got to get on the waiting list. You have to wait 2 years before
this
you sell
the
it.
This is John Cena CT?
Yes, this is the...
one of the ones, obviously.
Yeah, and it's one of those cars, and they got rules. Now, one of the things they offer, because it's pretty exclusive at this point, you're getting your car kind of hand-built, you can pick any color you want to paint the car. So you could go in and find a pair of your daughter's tennis shoes and go, I want it that color. Or you could pick from their standard colors or whatever. If you pick your own color, and this is a big part of this, you don't want other guys rolling around in your color. You don't want any examples of someone else who might get a color that's yours and do it.
It's exclusive to you?
Yeah, well, it can't be exclusive to you if you pick a Ford factory color.
Sure.
But
if it's hot pink or...
If you picked your own exclusive color and you said, this is the color I would like it, for an additional $10,000, they'll put the color in a vault and will paint no more cars your color. And I was thinking...
That's worth it.
I was thinking about that, and then I was recalling the conversation we had with Perez Hilton about the egg harvesting when he was starting his family, and for an additional several thousand dollars, maybe $500,000, they will not use that woman's egg to create more kids. You can put it in the Ford vault. And I thought it's weird, but it's really the exact same concept. It's I don't want to see anybody running around in my car, and I don't want to see any other kids that look like mine running around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is apples to apples.
I'd go whole hog. I would get the car, I'd pay the 10 grand, I'd get my own color, then I'd go to the egg harvesting kiosk, get the kid, lock off the eggs, and then sell the kid with the car. I'd throw him, like Sammy Hagar would throw a guitar in there, I'd do it with the kid. I'm not an idiot. I'd put him in the passenger seat, obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
of course.
Right, but you'd focus on the car. It's not like adopt this child and you get a car. It's buy this car. And
oh, yeah, yeah, car guys want the car.
Sure, 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 sure.
All right.
Is there a bargain to that $500K where you're like, okay, they can use her eggs, but it has to be on another continent? I cannot have another child on a playground here in North America.
Yes.
I run into.
Yes. Having a weird mind meld with your kid, telling him to kill. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know how much it is. I recalled because we talked about it. Perez said it was a lot of money, like it was too rich for his blood. And we got into the kind of ethics of it or the finances of it. But it is interesting that Ford and their supercar and you as a gay couple siring a kid using an egg that you bought. It's really just the same concept. We want exclusivity, everybody. All right. On the all right. I was screaming yesterday during March Madness that big corporations needed to unwoke themselves.
Yep.
And as I was screaming about big corporations unwoking themselves, United was putting out a tweet simultaneously that I told Max Zapata to retrieve for us, and he shall share it with us.
Let's see.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gina.
Oh, it says, our flight deck should reflect the diverse group of people on board our planes every day. That's why we plan for 50% of the 5,000 pilots we train in the next decade to be women or people of color. Learn more and apply now.
All right. I've screamed for a long time this the firefighting force should reflect the community. Don't care. Want the best fucking firefighters. Don't care what color their sex. I don't care what they are. I've never and it's funny, so everyone is woke now, but the thing that's there's a couple of things. One is it's funny that airline pilot used to be the example. You know, when you'd go, you'd be talking about we want the we want the police force, or we want the firefighter force, or we want the community at Starbucks to represent the community. And we'd go, I just want the best airline pilot. You know, we'd either use surgeon or airline pilot, but a heart surgeon, you know, like, I just want to know that my pilot is the most qualified pilot. Well, now we're at pilots. Mm-hmm. Did we ever think we were going to get to pilots?
And we talk all the time about, like, addressing the end of the issue as opposed to the root of the issue. Like, majority of pilots were either military or they went to flight school. I know someone who went to Embry-Riddle Flight Academy. He was like, yeah, 95% dudes. It's a self-selecting sample. There's not much you can do about it on that end, on United's end.
Yeah.
Well, you know who would beg to differ?
Hmm.
Debbie Doodson.
Who?
Oh, Debbie Doodson.
Because if she can ride that 18-wheeler, why can't she take it up into the sky?
She's a legacy, though, because she's from the Doodson School of Trucking, and that's her pop. But she should know.
Donald Doodson started that trucking school.
She's Debbie Doodson. Yeah, so a couple things. First things first. You know, I don't really care about all the woke shit per se. I mean, it doesn't affect day to day, you know, the firefighters or whatever, the Starbucks employees or whatever. I have thoughts about affirmative action for pilots, and they're going to go, well, they'll just undergo the same training or whatever, but I don't want there to be any other factors in that cockpit other than who flies the plane the best and who's the best qualified. I want no other factors.
Nope. Yeah.
Also, does anyone in this day and age of get on the plane, duck your head and turn right with a reinforced cockpit door, does anyone even fucking know who's up there most of the time?
That's the pilot.
That's what I was exactly about to say. You could just tell us they're anything. We've never seen a pilot since 2001.
Ooh, maybe that's the plan, Gina.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Just have pre-recorded things from, like, female voices.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a new gig for Gina.
I'm Captain Grad. We'll be soaring at 32,000 feet today.
Right. And then the guy with the red hair and the mustache can just click his recorder off and they can get going. It wouldn't be a bad gig for the guy who did the housing discrimination commercials, the PSA. Hello, my name is Lucius Johnson.
That's right. Diversify yourself.
Right. Just have the one guy lay down tampering with, disabling, destroying a cruising altitude, you know, whatever. Just lay the spiel down and no one will ever open the door.
Doesn't he have one where he goes, I'm in the wheelchair?
Oh, yeah. There's a wheelchair. I don't know if there's like an accent that comes along with being hobbled, but
I'm in a wheelchair.
Because at some point, my grandmother ended up in a wheelchair toward the end, but I don't think her accent changed much.
It didn't?
Yeah.
Up to Eastern Bloc.
She may have tweaked it a little bit. I gotta think on that one.
Yep.
So now pilots and United are woke. So we got that to look forward to. But the real insidious part of this is, if this was a thing and they made a big thing out of it and it was 5 years from now and you did see your black pilot or your female pilot, then you would go, I wonder if they're here because they're the best or they're here because of this program, which is not what you want anyone thinking from a societal standpoint, whether it's a college campus or a cockpit. Ooh, nice alliteration there. All right. Another thing that I had written down, which is they're talking about Caitlyn Jenner getting into the gubernatorial race out here.
You're burning through all my stories.
Sorry.
I didn't hear about that.
Well, you can put a finer point on it. But Caitlyn is taking a look at a governor, running for governor for California after the Newsom recall. Caitlyn is weird because Caitlyn is a transgendered person who's pretty Republican last time I checked.
That's like the storyline on Kardashians.
Yeah. And also has no idea how podcasting works because every time Caitlyn would occasionally call me just on my cell phone and go, hey, I like that bit you did on Tucker last night. So we know Caitlyn's conservative, but then I would go, why don't you come on to the podcast? And every time I would tell Mike to reach out to Caitlyn's people, they want to know how much you got paid to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not how it works. Come in and, you know, plug your line of hair extensions.
Yeah, I would always just remind people in that case that Oprah never paid a guest to be on Oprah. So if that's the precedent, I don't think we're paying to be a guest.
Good enough for Oprah, good enough for everyone. Also, an interesting thing as well, I'll circle back to the pilots thing. Silicon Valley has attempted for a long time to get like more diversity amongst its ranks. You know, sure. We need more black programmers or more female or more whatever, Hispanic.
A long time. It was the dominion of the white nerd.
Right. Male nerd. Right. But they have failed in filling their quotas because there's not enough Hispanic women who are interested in coding.
Like, again, a bit of a self-selecting sample. Like these dudes come up loving to play on computers and they end up loving to work on computers.
Right. So it's what I'm kind of saying is different groups, different genders, different nationalities, they kind of they gravitate toward things. I don't know why they do. I'm going to label it a bad thing. You know, it's just white, you know, more women are preschool teachers. And
I was just thinking about my Texas preschool. They outnumber them 5-1 at least. And can you imagine if they're sent an email one day like, oh, we're going to try and equal out the numbers. Like, no, you have good teachers. Keep it going.
Right. And then more firemen are men. So firefighters, I should say, are men. Like
all
that,
firemen are men.
It just is. So back to the gubernatorial race. And I'll piggyback this into my pilot diversity, or at least the plane metaphor. I'd also heard that our own Tony Villar, Antonio Villaraigosa, was looking to throw his sombrero into the ring and make a run at it himself. That people
but
he's
busy running that Fortune 500 company, though. What's
Herbalife. Yeah, he's all right. So he's thinking about the world's worst mayor for Los Angeles is looking at now running the state. And I thought to myself, it's funny, long before I'd heard anything about this United Airlines thing, I was just driving home listening to it on the radio, and I said, Antonio Villaraigosa, who was the mayor, him being the governor would be like taking the worst flight attendant on the plane and bumping them up to pilot. Like, that was essentially what this would do. Like, you were the worst mayor in Los Angeles history, and now you want to run the state that Los Angeles resides in. Oh, boy. So we got that. Caitlin would be interesting. That would be...
That's not even a case of... I mean, that's everybody supports you. You know, it's like you get everybody on board because you're obviously going to be for many progressive rights, being a person of being a transgender person, and you're a very conservative person. So people on the right can't say, oh, this is more woke culture, full steam ahead. I mean, how could Caitlin lose?
Well, here's my take based on experience. If Caitlin is going to run as a conservative Republican, there are many or any black conservative Republican cease being black immediately. You know, Candace Owens isn't black anymore. She's a conservative. Or you pick them. I mean, what it means, you're not embraced because of your skin color like you would be. So Stacey Abrams is embraced. Candace Owens is worse than embraced. She's
an outcast.
She's a turncoat, right?
Right.
She's Benedict Arnold. So, you know, whatever grace you think we would extend to Caitlyn Jenner because of the whole transgender, progressive, whatever, second that guy started, or that gal started talking about lowering taxes or school choice or whatever, they'd just dive on him, mm-hmm. I think. He'd cease.
Yeah, that would supersede.
Yeah. that's how we roll. I mean, haven't really tested it as far as transgender goes, but definitely black, Hispanic, female, you will cease being that. Or you won't be able to use that anymore.
Right.
We got trending topics coming up. We also have a happy story from Miles, the Riverside squatter in the house.
Yeah.
He's
he burned his house down.
I found out that he was trying to get on the phone, but he's auctioning off cars.
Yeah, he's an auctioneer.
I'm now intrigued.
I know.
I wonder if Tiger's Genesis is in that batch. So it's always funny. I know you guys probably go through this a lot where you find out somebody's doing something you're interested in, but the person that found out isn't that interested in it. So then I go, he's auctioning off cars. What kind of cars? I don't know. Where is he? I don't know. Are these impounded cars or classic cars? I didn't ask. Why didn't you ask? You should be as excited about it. But he was just texting back and forth, yeah. Right? All right, so he'll auction off some cars. He might have some insights as to what these insurance companies do with these totaled out cars. Yeah. I do know you can buy your car back. You can ask them to buy it back.
Like beforehand, you don't go stand there with the fan, the bidding fan.
Yeah, I think
you have right of first refusal. Right.
I think, but then there's also some insurance, pardon the pun, sort of issues about them giving you a car that's totaled. I don't know. I'd be curious. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do some trending topics, and we'll get an update from Miles about the house, but mostly about car auctions. Right after this.
He don't even know your name. Thinks your producing skills are lame. Makes fun of how your show.
Love that fucking song. I love Fox on the Run. The only good part of my childhood was Fox on the Run. All right, what do you got, Max Banner?
All right, well, you talked about yesterday how when you're telling companies to unwoke themselves, United Airlines, their ears were ringing.
Yeah, I know.
Well, also, the number one trending topic yesterday, when we were talking about all of our hot guys, it was actually International Asexuality Day. During that.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you've known this, Adam, but ace is kind of the shorthand version for asexual now.
So oh, it
all
is.
All my ace people.
Really?
Yeah, shout out to all my ace people.
Boy, remember back like 10 minutes ago when there were like three groups, you know?
Yeah.
And then we got another group, and then we got another, you know, the LGBTQ, you know, we just kind of...
The plus.
Now we're just going to keep, we're adding groups. All right, so there's an asexual group.
Chris, Gina, clarify. Yes. Is asexual like, what is asexual?
Well, that's what I was going to clarify. That for people, the term means just not into it, not attracted to other people. But asexual in biology means you're able to reproduce on your own. So which is it?
I think it's the first one. Yeah.
I don't think that's what I'm saying. The nomenclature.
Yeah, but and speaking of that, too, Sports Illustrated, they put out a contest for their new models. And
Their swimsuit edition.
Excuse me, yes. Yeah. And Louis Fries is a finalist, and he would be the first male model in the swimsuit edition. And Caitlin will put up a picture.
We will not rest until we fuck everything up. Until everything is just fucking ruined.
I was thinking Jason Momoa, but this is the opposite.
So wait, this is
he wearing bikini bottom?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is interesting because, like Brian said, the cisgendered man is the dude that we think of who buys the swimsuit edition. So where does Lewis fit into this?
No.
It's not like you said, a Jason Momoa guy where you can say, you know, I covet those abs. Who are we talking to in this?
Now, this guy looks like an attractive, flat-chested woman, essentially, like a waif model. If you put a blonde, long wig on this guy and he's 135 pounds, like there's no segment. This is now they have done what, you know, Dove does, or many of these other woke companies, when they get this super fat chick and they put her in the bikini and they tell her to do a cartwheel on the beach and they're like, this is the new sexy. And it's like, no, it fucking well is not. I do not want to have sex with that person. And like, well, this is the new aesthetic. Okay, have fun selling that to all the guys who read SI. All right.
Well, that's the question. Who are we marketing this gentleman to?
Yeah, that's my question. I have to imagine this year's swimsuit edition sales is probably 11% of what it was at its peak. You know what I mean? If that, I can't imagine people are buying it.
But I think it's just virtue signaling. It's like, who is United Airlines marketing this? Yeah. We are going to take pilots based on the color of their skin or their sexual parts. And we're going to weigh that in heavily into our training process or the process of hiring pilots. Who is that for? It's not for the fucking people who are in the plane. And this isn't for anyone who watches SI. This is so they can signal to the world that they're woke or progressive or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know that there's any actual monetary end game here.
Yeah. So this is his second time applying for this contest.
How about when I went out for that job at Hot Dog on a Stick all those years ago and I was fucking flat turned down?
Yeah.
You didn't fit the hot pants.
You gave up, Adam. He didn't.
He didn't.
Yeah. So you just submit a photo and a 60-second video of yourself saying why you want to be chosen. There are 15 finalists. 6 will be chosen. So he has a chance to be the first male model in the magazine. Or as he puts it, though, he just wants to be the next. He wants to be noted as the next model, not the first male model. He's a big Kate Upton fan too.
I was listening.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's a fucking big Kate Upton fan. I was listening to John and Ken driving home yesterday, local AM KFI guys, and they were covering this whole story about, and here's where it gets a little tricky. There's a lot of prisoners in California penal system, I think it's California, who basically want to be transferred to the female prison. And now all you have to do is say, here's how I identify. You do not have to have had the surgery. You can simply identify and you can get onto this list. And no one sees any problems down the road with guys who may be convicted, I don't know, rapists going now to the female. I would love to. If I ever go to prison, I would like to go to a female prison. I'm stating that out front.
I'd like to go on record as saying if you're convicted of raping a woman, I don't care how you identify, you don't get to go to the women's prison.
And maybe they don't. I don't know if they. Maybe it's all white collar crime. I don't know.
But, okay, then he can do my taxes.
But yeah. Oh, come on, embezzlers who are mad at their junk, step forward. we're getting pretty blurry with the lines here, and I don't think it's a step toward the light. It's sort of like, I don't know if it's Connecticut or what state it is, but the people that hold the track records were formerly men, like the high school right. track records. I don't know. Is that a step toward the light for the ladies who are not getting the scholarships or coming in fourth or not making the podium, for the guys who are the transgenders who are setting the records and track? Like, it's getting really blurry now. Like, whose side should we be on? There's an argument of going, well, I'm progressive. I'm arguing I'm in the corner of the transgendered people. And then there's another part to go, yeah, but they're whooping up on the ladies. All right.
Well, speaking of that, I just wanted to look up some quick things on asexuality. And there's two more subsections. There's asexual, gray sexual, and demisexual.
Thank God. And there'll be 18 more this time next week.
We're going to run out of letters.
Doesn't the platypus, can't the platypus, what's the platypus's sexuality? The platypus can mate with either sex or can create its own, you know.
Yeah, there's something weird.
There's something
about
to the platypus.
And then the seahorse also.
And the seahorse. Well,
male seahorses carry the babies. Male penguins like to mate for life with other male penguins.
Ugh.
Well, I know that there are some species of frog that spontaneously change their gender if there's not enough of the other gender around.
Right.
Subplot Jurassic Park.
That's right. The they're all supposed to be female. That's
yes,
right.
But I think the platypus has something. Mexipan can look up the platypus, or Gina, look up the platypus, and you can keep going. But anyway,
right here, it's interesting. It's the only egg-laying mammal.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm getting to the part.
It's a cursed creature. There. It's a billed mammal.
Right. But anyway, good news, SI fans. We have a dude who's going to grace the pages of the swimsuit issue.
We might have a dude.
Oh, we might. Yeah. We might.
God willing.
Today, as we record this, the National Day, we have two big days. And weirdly, we got double booked. It's World Health Day today.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
But trending even higher than that, it's National Beer Day today.
Really?
Yeah.
The juxtaposition.
I know. It was kind of weird. And I was thinking about you, Adam, and drinking beer on the Man Show every episode.
Mm.
Do you miss it?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's a few things I miss as it pertains to the Man Show and beer. So we would tape on Fridays exclusively. I started my work week back then Sundays. So I would work Sunday through Friday night, essentially. So I didn't have a lot of time off. I was double-duting it back then. I would show up at the Man Show office and work on the Man Show all day, film bits, edit, bay, whatever, write, whatever. Just stay at the Man Show all day. And then at night, I would go into Culver City. I would do Loveline. But I didn't have to do Loveline Friday night. Loveline was Sunday night through Thursday night, which I always appreciated because it gave you your Friday and Saturday nights. So we would tape two shows on a Friday. So by the time I was done with that second show on Friday, especially with my double duty week all week, it was time to cut loose a little. Like it was time to drive my M3 off a tow truck. That's basically where I was at. So the first, we started like chugging beers in the first show and we'd go right to the second show. And I was getting a little sloppy on those cue cards, because I had a little buzz working from the first show, you know? So I started with at some point I switched over to the near beer or the O'Doul's or something in the first show. So at some point, or half the shows, I have probably 10% of them. But at the end, and I think I chose a Sam Adams. We'd ask you what beer you wanted. I'd do a Sam Adams. At the end, I'd chug that beer, and then we'd go up into the office. So the soundstage at Hollywood Center Studios was right next to our office. I mean, we used to just – the Man Show offices were the next building separated by – a driveway. So we'd oftentimes like sit in the office right until tape time, like tweaking stuff or going through stuff. And then we'd just walk right over, get changed and do it. But when we're done, chug the beers and then go into the office. We had
the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. We had the mini. What's that?
Picturing the Wolf of Wall Street.
That's basically that kind of debauchery. We had a mini fridge in there. We'd have some beers. And then everyone would kind of gather up into the office, like the writers, sometimes the guest, if there was, Adam West or something was the guest on that show or some whomever, whatever. And we'd all kind of end up in the office. And I'd just sit at my desk and drink some beers. And then at some point, if we didn't go home, we'd go to billiards. This billiards place and shoot pool and drink some more beers. And then at some point, I'd drive the car off a tow truck.
Would Jimmy do the near beer, light beer thing too? Or was he going full beer every time?
I don't think he switched to the near beer. Number one, I don't recall that. I think he stuck with it. Number two, the chasm in Jimmy and my ability to read cue cards, to spell, to conjugate verbs, and to...
On the fly.
Just the English language in general. He's such a crazy... Like, when a writer would present a script and, he'd read it, he'd circle misspelled words. Not words that would be put into a teleprompter or something. He was just letting that writer know, you didn't spell this guy's name right, or he didn't whatever. He would do that...
I am.
Oh, I'm above you on my screen. I'm above you on my screen. What's going on in your lap?
He was he was such a good reader and speller and writer, and I struggled with it so mightily that I didn't want to show up for the second. And I knew that I had trouble reading and reading out loud and cue cards and stuff like that. And then I knew I was standing next to someone who was fantastic at it. You know, Jimmy, when he would do his sports stories, you know, on K-Rock, and he was doing the sports guy stuff, he'd beat his computer seconds before the mic went hot, you know, with Kevin and Bean, and he'd rip this page out, and it'd be like a full page or two pages, you know, and he'd just run in and sit down and just like mow right through it. And I was like, oh my God, I could never, back then, couldn't get close to that. So I don't think he, so for me, I didn't want to be impaired because I was already impaired in terms of being a product of LA Unified School District. And he wasn't. And like I said, the time I would sit in my dressing room oftentimes and just go over the script or go over the cue cards because I didn't want to fuck up in front of Jimmy. I didn't want to embarrass Jimmy. I knew I was bad at it. I knew he was so, you know, it's one thing to be bad at something. And it's another thing to have a person next to you who's equally shitty at it. But when that person next to you is really good at it, it shines the spotlight that much brighter. So I didn't want to fuck up. I didn't want to ever stop taping. You know, we always did it like live to tape. Like if you fuck up, keep going. You know, we're not going to reset or do anything like that. And so I would always read and I didn't want to be buzzed. And like I said, one time, this is when it really dawned on me. I think we were coming back for season three or something. And we were just standing behind the door getting ready for the band was firing up or the opening of the show was firing up in full capacity. You know, we were going to burst through the door and then, you know, hit our marks and deliver our monologue. And we're just we were just sitting back there. And I, of course, I would oftentimes have the script with me so I could give it like one last look before I went out and stood and read. Because standing in front of a capacity crowd on TV reading was like, oh, I thought I was just going to die on a construction site and never be outed, you know. But we were just standing back there. And we used to just stand back there like, you know, we'd go back 2 minutes before the show started, we just stand there and sometimes it'd be like we talk about shit, personal stuff or whatever. And then sometimes it was like you're on the right, I'm on the left and who's going to do the throw or whatever. But we were coming back for like season three and we were standing back there and Jimmy said, which color are my cue cards? Am I the blue ones or the black ones? Because we had blue and black. So I wouldn't read his cards and he wouldn't read mine. And that just meant to me he hadn't even looked.
No, he didn't need to.
Didn't even need to. He's just going to walk out there, find the right color cue card, and then just mow right
read
through
like
it.
Read like a superhuman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have Miles on. Should we talk to
him? Yeah, let's talk to Miles. Before we do that, though, I know you know this, Adam, but Gina and Brian, did you know that Mike August is a speed reader?
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, but Gina had the same
blows
reaction.
My mind.
Okay.
He won competitions.
Yeah. I know.
How do you win a competition? You have to do reading comprehension. You can't just say done.
Right.
How do you prove it?
They ask you questions.
They probably ask you questions and stuff. But yeah, he'll just blow through a book.
Yes. It all sounds dubious if you know Mike.
If you communicated with him.
These were awards that were given. And, you know, junior high.
My grandfather was this, you know, master, this genius scientist, and he was too. And literally, when you watch someone do that, they're literally just reading down the page. Like, they don't go back and forth like the rest of us. They're just reading down the middle. I can't do it. I'd like to see August do this in person.
Highly skeptical. Yeah.
Next time he's in, we should challenge him.
You can't be skeptical of the blue ribbon he got when he was 13. I mean, that still hangs on the wall.
I wonder if those skills have perverted themselves into what we see today.
It's possible.
Very, very possible.
Like a guy with martial arts training attacking the elderly. Is that
like
what you're
Gollum
saying?
Finding the ring.
Yeah.
You know, like he was the normal, he was Smeagol at one point.
Listen. No one hates Mike more than me, but you got to give the fucking devil his due. Yeah, it's like it's like a guy in a wheelchair saying, "Oh, you were a track star in high school." It's like, yeah, I was. Like that's what he was.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good.
It's amazing.
You gotta respect it. Oh God, what was I about to say? Oh, you know, you can go in there, Max Band, and look for. Along with the Debbie Dutz in School of Trucking commercials, as you see when I was a kid in the Schick Center for quitting smoking. The other commercial I would see repeatedly that I never brought up is the Evelyn Wood Speed Reading School.
Oh,
what?
Evelyn, if you look up Evelyn Wood, you will see a person that is, you know, one of the grandfathers of the speed reading movement, and they had courses for speed reading in the 70s. Like, here's
what you should... The Evelyn Wood 7-day speed reading and learning program.
How was I the worst student in my high school? I didn't sign up for the program. I should have been in the middle somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Why the worst?
It's just your capacity to retain information. You should have at least middled.
I don't mean to be a point shitter, and I know nothing about this person, but there's apparently something called Failure Magazine, and the headline is, Scan Artist, How Evelyn Wood Convinced the World That Speed Reading Was Important.
Yeah, well, she did. Thank God my family had no money to send me to that shysters. But also, I would argue that a failed magazine probably went bankrupt 14 years ago. So, you know.
It's probably true.
Did it succeed?
So, we'll see if we can find one of those commercials. Miles, are you on? Miles?
Hey, Adam.
Yes.
Up at the house in Riverside because the people had to come stuff out, and so I'm watching it. If it ends up cutting out, just hang up on me. I don't want to be that dude. But the service is bad up here.
All right, but did you get your home back?
Okay, so they ended up leaving in the middle of the night, kind of like skipping town, and then left stuff in the house. So we came back in, changed the locks, got the house back, and then Easter morning, he showed back up here with the sheriff trying to get in, saying they have my things, and he was trying to move his couches, only he was there. I'm on the phone with the sheriff going, well, is he there with people to help him move couches? Does he have a truck or a moving truck? And the guy goes, no, he doesn't have any of that. I'm like, well, then he's obviously there for some reason to scam. He's not here to get anything, so we'll set up an appointment. The ball's on this dude to say,
oh,
you know,
my God.
Well, I have a couch in there and the washer and dryer also, and you're like, oh, really? Yeah.
Well, let's
come on by.
Let's couple things. Set the table. So Miles and his wife bought a home in Riverside, I think paid cash. And the person who sold him the home never left the home. And it's been 15 months. And the sheriffs and the people, the lawmakers, will do nothing to evict this person. And now he slipped out and you slipped in. I have this relationship with bravado, which is I hate it, and I'm also wildly attracted to it. Yeah. Like the fact that this guy'd go, where's my love seat, dude?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's crazy that he would even knock on the door, you know?
It is insane. So he was having his wife text for him, which was a whole other thing where I'm like, I'm going to give him the opportunity to see me face to face there, and I'm going to let him apologize. And then, of course, he's not going to take that opportunity. He doesn't want to see us. He's just hiding behind her like he's been hiding in the house the whole time, which is the least surprising thing ever.
The only story that rivals that in the bravado department is, I don't know, did you guys hear that tragic story about the girls that hijacked the Uber Eats driver?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the poor guy was like clinging on the car and they just peeled off and he was crushed to death and the car was smashed and the chicks got out of the car and one chick was like, my phone is in there. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's like, you just killed a guy.
Yeah.
You're worried about your phone.
That are the mom of the North Hollywood bank robbers who sued the city.
Oh, the best.
That's chutzpah.
That is chutzpah. Yeah. Sorry, but there's a new leader in the clubhouse. It's the guy who squatted Miles' house. Hey, Miles, and a much more important subject, you auctioning cars.
That's right.
What cars do you auction?
So I'm an auctioneer for the wholesale auctions that basically remarket. A lot of people don't know this, but every every time Hertz is done with a car, it hits 30,000 miles, they remarket it through the auction. They sell it through the auction. Same with all the rental car companies, all the banks with the repos or lease, all the new car owners that are selling their trades they don't want to put on their own lot. That's how, and then just wholesalers themselves. But it all gets remarketed through these auctions that are throughout the week.
Miles, for a rental car, 30,000 miles has got to be a year and a half old.
Yeah.
Like, these are newish cars,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. And if you're doing, some of them are even newer than that. They can be, I mean, somebody could buy a car and then never make a payment on it. You get it right back. It's got 100 miles on it. It's everything from, I mean, it ranges from everything from, you know, cars worth hundreds of thousands to cars worth 200.
Are there deals to be had?
Yeah, I'm about to give up my lease here. Where do I find you?
So they're at, like, with the internet, the deals to be had are slightly less than they used to be, but there still are deals. They're just not quite what they used to be, when everybody can follow around exactly who bought what for what and follow around the bin and do everything. The less meat on the bone, you know, the margins are smaller, but they're still there.
I'll
help you guys out.
Any thoughts about Tiger Woods Hyundai? Because I want to know where that car is.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when I saw the accident, actually, because I do, on every Tuesday, I do a sale that's all wrecked vehicles. So if it was Hyundai that was taking the car back, I believe I would see it. If it's an insurance company, most insurance companies resell their wrecked cars most through a different company that I also used to work for, but I do sell some for Enterprise and Avis. So it would depend. There's a decent chance I'll end up seeing that.
I want that goddamn car. Send me a text.
Let me know what you want in for. I'll get it. I'll get it for you.
I think that car's going to be worth a ton of money. I think memorabilia's going through the roof. And, you know, the thing about the memorabilia is it keeps expanding, like the aforementioned LGBTQ with the plus and all that kind of stuff. It kind of started off with, like, guitars and art and, you know, stuff like that. It's getting wider and wider in terms of what they is considered memorabilia. Tiger Woods shall go down as one of the biggest figures of this generation, you know, sports or not. And that's the car. I mean, there was 100% news coverage when Tiger crashed that car. I don't care what they were in the middle of, you know, on the border with Fox, the Floyd trial with CNN.
Love Boat reruns.
They burst right in. That jumped to the top of the news cycle for everything. I mean, really think about how big a celebrity you have to be in a car accident and everyone who's doing news stops and goes, here's what's, you know, hey, Senator, we can't talk to you now. This is breaking, you know. So, and everyone knows the car. Mm. I just think that thing's gonna fetch a pretty penny one day. Certainly an awesome conversation piece to just park in your garage. anyone who came over for a barbecue, that'd be the best beer walk it to the garage ever, right?
You know who else you can lease it to? Hmm. This was a big thing in high school. You can lease it to all the driver's ed classes.
That's right.
Driving, yeah,
this is what happens when you're texting or drinking and driving.
Right. You want to go in?
I like
the
idea of just having it in your backyard while you're barbecuing, and it's just sitting there, and you and your buddies can talk about it. I think that's the best idea so far.
It's going to be worth something. So the insurance companies, because we're all trying to kind of hammer this out, pardon the pun, but you know, the insurance company would pay for the totaled car, and then that the totaled car would become the property of the insurance company, right?
That's right, yeah. And then they'll sell it to the auction, and then, you know, whatever it brings. Or, I mean, they may have a reserve on it, but usually with cars that wrecked, they wouldn't, unless they think it's, I mean, I've never seen him say this is a special, you know, celebrity crash car before, but I mean, I guess anything's possible. But yeah, they usually just sell for whatever it brings when it's that wrecked.
Interesting. And it happened in your neck of the woods, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if it ends up being from, if Hyundai owned the car and Hyundai's going to sell through, then I probably will see it. If it was Enterprise or Avis, probably see it. If it ends up being like a State Farm or something like that, then we don't have their account. So that would go through a different auction. But yeah, I'd say 50-50 chance.
Wow, I'm intrigued. I'm officially intrigued. Not just intrigued, but officially. Now, officially intrigued with this. So Yeah, because I guess Hyundai would. Are they Korean? I mean, they're not going to put it in a container and ship it back to Korea. It's out here.
No.
And
no, they'd sell it. Basically, the closest auction, it's two that they have a contract with, they ship it to. And like I said, the one I do on Tuesdays is the largest one for the largest auction company. So there's a pretty good chance it'll go there.
Check
but
the
it's also
roster.
Part of a, it's also part of a police ongoing investigation, so that could be tied up in whatever probate or whatever.
Well,
yes, it would be.
Yeah, but I would also argue that most totaled cars are part of a police investigation because right. somebody did something wrong and or was speeding or drunk or was rear-ended by someone who was drunk. Like they're all going through that protocol sure. most likely.
Right. And it did. That's
yeah,
the thing.
It did.
It's over.
All right. Give me that black box.
You let me know if you want it. I'll get a hold of Maxipad and we'll figure it out. I'll put the word out.
I would, because I'm, again, I'm like kind of intrigued about this. Now, would you think you think there'd be a bidding war on that? Do you think if the word got out, there'd be like some dick was talking about it on his podcast or something dumb like that?
if there was, it would be the exception to the rule. There's not usually, I mean, even when we get good condition and someone's like, tell them this used to be Shaq's car. And I'm like, they don't care. So, I mean, maybe this one is different because it was so part of the news, but it also is completely smashed and it's going to be salvage title and probably unrebuildable. So, I mean, shouldn't bring that much, but I guess you never know.
Well, you definitely wouldn't want to put it back together because then you just have a Hyundai. you'd want it as is, preserved. I wouldn't. And by the way, you know, it's interesting, but the new trend in the collector world is like if Porsche wins Le Mans in their 911, whatever, they win the GT class, when they bring that car back to the Porsche factory, they do not clean it. They leave the bugs stuck really? To it. You know what a car looks like after a 24-hour race?
Like if it's been on the moon.
It's been raining and shit. They literally will clear coat it and leave the dust and the stuff that... the scuffs from the tire rubber, the car that flew off in front of them, the bugs stuck to the windshield. They just leave it as is. So
and shellac it.
I would do that with Tiger's Hyundai. All right, Miles.
I hate to be that guy. Hyundai and Genesis are actually technically separate companies.
Oh, they are now.
Yeah, they are. But, so it's not a Hyundai Genesis. It's a Genesis.
Oh.
Sorry. Continue on.
It's like Lexus and Toyota. Are they... different as well now officially?
Yeah, those are separate companies. I don't know if the same relationship, but the Genesis is its own company.
All right, well, I would like
it's much more similar to Toyota Lexus than it would be a completely separate company. It's like you know, Acura, Honda,
yeah,
Toyota Lexus.
I get
Honda
it,
Genesis.
But they created a different market, different name. And thanks, Miles. Good luck on the house.
Thank you. I got tickets to your show out at Sea Legs next month, so
oh,
looking
good.
Forward to it.
Right. Well, let's get that car, man.
Tell Max and Pat to be in contact with me. We're not able to make this happen.
Head on a swivel. Wow. You go find that thing. Do your sleuthing, man. This is important. Sure, you got a house, I don't have a Genesis.
This is now the most important thing going on in my life, that I got this thing all settled up.
That's
so
right.
I'll start looking for it.
Prioritize. Thank you. Bye, Miles.
Thanks, brother.
We'll see you at the show, which is sold out, so I hear.
Poor Miles. Good. Just when he finally can take 5 minutes to breathe, now he has to go hunt down this car.
Walls are stuffed with cheese.
Well, I had this thought, you know, as I was driving in. I was going, oh, that Genesis. And then later on, Max Zapata was like, hey, Miles, the guy at the house in Riverside, he's going to be calling in for an update. And I was like, all right, but... the fact that that's his territory and that he auctions off these totaled cars, Jesus Christ, people.
It's Beshert.
It's Beshert.
Beshert, as the Jews say.
It's meant to be. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, do we have an Evelyn Wood Reading Dynamics commercial from 1979 or something?
These people have a tremendous advantage. They're dynamic readers.
It's helped me in school. I can get sleep on finals weeks instead of staying up all night.
It brought my grades up substantially.
Besides learning to read fast, I also learned how to take notes, how to study for a test.
And the college boards, it helps a lot.
Evelyn Wood will show you how you can become a dynamic reader in a free reading dynamics lesson designed to increase your reading speed well over 50%.
Your free Evelyn Wood Reading Dynamics lesson is being held today and tomorrow at these locations. In Chicago at 12:15, 5:30, and 7:30 p.m. at the Institute.
All right. 180 North Michigan Avenue. Is that Steve Allen hosting? It's crazy. Guys. All right. Anyway.
Evelyn Wood was long dead at that point, I think.
You'll probably find a more modern color one somewhere for some other day. Yes.
Oh, wait. Right as I said that, I clicked on her Wikipedia because I saw here that she was born in 1909. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, Evelyn. Guess when she died? 1995.
Wow.
She had a good run.
Good run of bilking people. All right. We'll talk to David Fischoff, who's runs all the rock camps, and we'll talk about the documentary, which is very inspiring.
Such first, a fun doc.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back to talk rock and roll with David Fischoff right after this.